Psalms 107, and we'll lay a little bit of a foundation here. I'm going to give you some my observations as I study this chapter. It is a chapter that I do enjoy in the book of Psalms. I have made many notes over the years in this psalm, underlined certain words and some things that I want to bring out this morning in our lesson. But I want us to maybe lay a little bit of a foundation. In this psalm, as I have mentioned, many believe that Ezra is the one that wrote or put the words down for this particular psalm. You're going to find in this chapter there are several things that we need to bring out and put a spotlight on. First of all and foremost, you'll find that he is challenging the people of God to give thanks unto God and to rejoice in all that God has done for them. In fact, you're going to find that mentioned several times in this chapter. He believed, if Ezra is the writer, and I believe he probably was, and the reason that we believe that is several statements that you'll find in this chapter, you can find also and kind of pin it towards Ezra. But besides that, you'll find here the challenge is to try to make sure the people of God understand the importance of being thankful for all that God has done. And that is still very key today. It's still very important that we understand of the importance of just being thankful for all that God has done. We tend to be unthankful, ungrateful. We'll often maybe make mention of in people in describing someone of how ungrateful someone may be. But we as a child of God, as a people of God, we are often guilty of not expressing our thankfulness to God for all that He has done. It's easy to go through a day and lo and behold, before you know it, a half a week is gone, and then lo and behold, you're back again and a week has come and it has gone. And we often kind of tend to get so busy in life that we tend to forget about how we ought to be thankful for all that God has done. He also challenges the people of God not only of the importance of thankfulness but also the importance of rejoicing and sharing that with others about all that God has done for them. It's good to share of the blessings of God with others. It's good to share and tell others of what God has done, as we find here for the people of God, the importance of sharing with others of all that God has done for them and sharing that with others. Others need to hear. The world needs to hear, as you'll find in this psalm here, of the goodness of God. And I think that's very, very key as well. I think that if we were a people that was as excited as we should be and as thankful as we ought to be and a people that we ought to rejoice like we ought to, I think in return that it helps you in your witness of sharing the gospel with a world that needs Christ as their Savior. You'll also find in this chapter here, I believe also that you can come to the conclusion that when you drift away from God and you get out of the will of God for your life, there's going to be a lot of things that start to happen in your life that's not going to be for the good. You're going to find that the people of God suffered in many ways. They suffered physically. They suffered starvation. They suffered persecution. They suffered slavery. They suffered destruction in many cases as they drifted away from God and got away from the Word of God. They always find themselves in that physical condition. So in this Psalms, you're going to find the importance of having a good, healthy spiritual life. And I also believe that when your spiritual life is healthy, it also helps you physically in your life. In many ways. I believe that the stronger spiritually you are, the stronger physically you're going to be. And they kind of go hand in hand. And so that's going to be brought to the spotlight as well. The importance of being right with God. And when you're right with God spiritually, a lot of other things in life are going to fall in place in the right manner that they should be because of your walk with God. But as your walk with God drifts away from God, you're going to find a lot of things in life. To be honest with you, life is just going to fall apart. And that is very, very true even to this very day. Life seems to fall apart when you drift away from God. Why is that? Well, as you drift away from God, then the blessings of God become very far and few and in between. And even as a nation, it spills over even to a nation of people. And we'll look at that. Several things we'll look at this morning. Let's begin in verse number 1. The psalmist says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endureth forever." So that's the challenge that you're going to find here. You're going to find the challenge for the people of God is to be thankful unto God. You're going to find that there's some reasons why you can be thankful, for He is good, talking about God. It talks also of His mercy and how His mercy endureth forever and ever, and we all know that to be true. We talked about that last week as well, and praise be to God that God's mercy never runs out. Because I believe that mankind will always be in need of mercy. And there will never be a day in your life that you do not need the mercy of God. And so the psalmist here, I think, right off the bat, he's trying to knock the ball out of the park right at the very beginning here of making sure the people of God know the importance here of giving thanks unto God, for His mercy endureth forever. Look at verse number 2. "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Right? The word "say so" means you ought to voice that opinion. You ought to speak out about that. You ought to be bold in your speaking to others about the goodness of God and of the mercy of God. Verse number 2 continues, says, "Whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Another reason why you can be thankful, because the hand of God delivered them from the hand of the enemy. Verse number 3, "And gather them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south." Verse number 4, "They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted in them." So you'll find verse 4 and 5 is describing a little bit of the physical and spiritual condition of the people of God. They're in bad shape. You'll find in verse number 5, it talks about hungry and thirsty. Now, when you think about being hungry and thirsty, you think about the physical aspects of being hungry and thirsty, but it also has a spiritual application. Not only is the psalmist talking about their physical condition, but he's also talking about their spiritual condition. You'll find also in verse number 5 that the Bible continues on and it says, "Their soul fainteth in them." Didn't say that physically necessarily that they fainted or that they were weary, but it's talking about the soul of the people of God. They were weary. Why? Because they were thirsty. They were hungry. Why were they thirsty and they're hungry? Because there were times they didn't have anything to eat or drink. And by the way, the reason physically that they were in the shape that they were in, it was because of disobedience towards God. So disobedience toward God led to a physical problem in their life, but not only did it lead to a physical problem in their life, but as we find here, it also affected them spiritually in their life. So when you choose to rebel against God, and when we choose to go down a path that God has not chosen for us, you're going to find that you're going to have major problems in many facets of life. It's going to hit you physically in life. It's going to hit you spiritually in life. And the weaker you become spiritually, the weaker you become physically. So you find here that they find themselves in some pretty serious condition in life, and they're in a pretty sad state in life. We find in verse number 3, they wandered in the wilderness. They don't have any direction. They have no guidance. They have no leadership. They do not have God leading and guiding them at that point in their life. And when God's not leading and guiding, you tend to go down wrong paths. And when you go down the wrong path, it creates a lot of other problems in life. And you can apply it to our day and age today. When we choose the wrong path, it's going to affect you in a lot of ways. It's going to affect you. It can affect you as far as your financial condition in life. It can affect you as far as your marriage is concerned. It can affect you in raising of your children. It can affect you spiritually. I mean, we can go on and on and on. When we make bad choices and we do the wrong things and we go down the wrong path, you'll find it's going to affect you in many, many, many ways. And so the psalmist here is kind of reminding us here of the condition of the people of God. There were many times that they were hungry, that they were thirsty, that they did wander around. We find also in verse number 4, it talks about how they found no city to dwell in. They had no home. They were always wandering. They're always on the move. They're never, nothing is stable whatsoever in their life. They don't have a stable home, they don't have a stable dwelling, they don't have a stable job, they don't have a stable income, they don't have stable amounts of food to provide for them and their families, and it's a life that is completely upside down, but it's because of rebellion towards God. Now, the psalmist goes on and look at verse number 6, "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distress." So we find here that they do finally come to the kind of a wake-up call in their life. And then it says, "Then they cried unto the Lord." It's kind of sad that it takes a long time sometimes for us to call on God. But we find that they did call on God. We find that God does deliver them in verse number 6. And praise be to God that God always seems to come through for us. Verse number 7, "And He led them forth by the right way, that they might go into a city of habitation." So verse 7 is very key as well. We find that they released that wandering and kind of making decisions on their own. And we find in verse number 7 that He led them, talking about God. And when God leads you, as you find in verse number 7, He's going to lead you down the right path. So there is a right path in life, and there's a wrong path in life. When God is doing the leading, you're always going to go down the right path. When God is not leading in your life, you're always going to go down the wrong path. Very, very simple here. So we find here the key in life is just allowing God to lead and guide. Our responsibility is not to lead. Our responsibility is to follow God. It's pretty simple. You just do what God tells you to do. When God leads and when God instructs and when you follow that leading, you're going to find that, guess what? Life's going to make a big turnaround. Things are going to be on the up and up. You're going to find life's a little easier. You're going to find that life is better when God is in control. Verse number 8, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." You want to circle verse number 8. That verse will be repeated several times in this chapter. That is going to be the driving theme of the chapter, and that is, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." That's kind of a little bit of a key there as well, talking about to the children of men. I think people need to hear about the goodness of God. I think that our young people, our children, our grandchildren, younger people, younger families, they need to hear about the goodness of God. So that verse number 8 there, you're going to find that it's going to be found several times in this chapter. So you got 8 verses here. You're going to find that you are challenged at the beginning here about giving thanks unto God. We're going to find that we are also challenged, as we find in verse number 8, that we need to praise the Lord. We need to voice that. We need to be bold in our praise unto God. We need to remind ourselves of the goodness of God and the wonderful works of God. We find that the people of God had a period of time in their life where they chose the wrong path. It created a lot of problems. It created a physical problem in their life. It created a spiritual problem in their life. But praise be to God that in verse number 6, they do cry out to God, and praise be unto God that God delivered them. So they have a lot to praise God for. They can talk and speak of the wonderful works of God. So it moves on. Verse number 9, "For He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness." And by the way, only the Lord can fill an empty soul. Verse number 10, "Such as sit in darkness and the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron." So now we're going to go into another scenario. And I think there's 4 or 5 of these in this chapter, just kind of reminding you of some of the distress or some of the problems that the people of God found themselves in, and how that God always came through for them. So now let's go, it's going back now to the people of God and some of the problems that they found themselves in life. Look at verse number 11. Let's go back to verse number 10. "Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. Verse number 11 tells you why. Because they rebelled against the words of God. Now you just mark it down this morning that when you rebel against the word of God, you've got problems. And the reason this morning that our country has more problems than we even realize this morning, I firmly believe because our nation has drifted and has chosen to oppose the word of God. And when you start rebelling against the words of God as a people, as a church, as an individual, or as a nation, you are just inviting the devourer, as the Bible speaks of, and you're going to find out that a lot of things can happen in a great nation real quickly if God chooses so. I believe this morning that our country is in a sad, sad, sad state this morning, and I look at the entire world. I think not only is our nation, but I look at our entire world is in sad shape this morning. And it's all because we have chosen to drift away from the Word of God. We don't need the Word of God anymore. We've got it all under control. We know what's right. We know what's wrong. We know what is best. It doesn't matter what God thinks. It doesn't matter what the Bible says. The Bible to the world is an old, outdated book that doesn't even apply to our day and age. You're going to find out that when you rebel against the words of God, that you're going to have destruction come your way. And I think we're starting to see part of it. Sad week this week in France. Terrorists on the rise. I think this morning they were, a lot of people are kind of very, very concerned that what happened in France is going to happen in our country. It's just a matter of time. They call them sleeper cells, terrorists, and the Muslims and so forth in different countries. And I have no doubt they're in our country too. I think we'd probably be surprised of how many's in our country this morning. And I just wonder to myself sometimes and hope and pray that God spares us of that. And I believe that's our only hope this morning is the hand of God. And so we find here in verse number 11, it tells you why they get themselves in this shape. Why? How do they get in such a problem? I mean, how can they get so far from God? How can the people of God who could witness the blessings of God with their own eyes, very evident, obvious of all that God has done for them, but verse 11 tells you how they get themselves in such a sad shape, because they rebelled against the words of God. Very, very important that we understand when it really comes down to it, the only thing that matters in your life this morning is the word of God that you hold in your lap. It doesn't matter what everybody thinks in this world. It doesn't matter what even my opinion is this morning. The only thing that matters in your life is the very word of God that you hold in your lap this morning. Look at verse number 12. Therefore, all right, so because they rebel against the words of God, look at verse number 12. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death. He brake their bands in sunder. So we find here that they got in serious trouble because they rebelled against the word of God. It drove them to a very serious state in life. But they did cry out to God in verse number 13. God saved them. We find in verse 14, he brought them out of darkness of the shadow of death. He brake their bands in sunder because God was then in control and leading them. Verse number 5, same verse again. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Same verse once again. So the psalmist here is giving you several different scenarios of the people of God, reminding us of the very terrible state that they found themselves in. And the reason they were in such terrible state in life was because of their rebellion towards the Word of God. They didn't want God leading. They didn't care what God thought. They didn't even ask God of what His opinion may be on the matter. They made all the decisions. They made all the choices. They go down the wrong path. They find out that life completely falls apart for them. They cry out unto God. God comes back once again, delivers them. And then we find that challenge once again in verse number 5. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 16. For He hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. So verse 17 is a very key element as well. It talks about the fools because of their transgression. Transgressions always get you in problem, into trouble, I should say. Iniquities are mentioned in verse number 17. And then also the result of that is affliction comes. Basically, when we sin, it brings affliction upon us as a people. Fools is mentioned in verse number 17 as well. A lot of times people make bad choices because they just make foolish choices in life. They do foolish things, and we could mark it down. There's times in life where we've done foolish things in life. There's been times where we are the ones that have transgressed against God. Iniquities mentioned in verse number 17. All those are going to get you in a lot of trouble. And the people of God often found themselves in a lot of trouble. Verse number 18. Excuse me. Verse number 18. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. Isn't it amazing how over and over and over you always find it always takes the people of God, they've got to be driven down to the very depths of the valleys of despair, and then they finally realize there's no hope, there's no way out, let's cry unto God, and it's amazing how God always comes through in saving them. It's amazing how God continues to love the people of God. It's amazing this morning how God loves us. We talked a little bit about it last Sunday, about how do you even describe the love of God. I mean, our minds can't comprehend how someone could love a people who continually go down the wrong path over and over and over and over, but yet God still loves them. And so we find, once again, verse number 19, then they cry unto the Lord. Now, it's interesting that we always find that word as well, then they cry unto God. Meaning that they have to get to the very bottom, but when they get to the bottom, then they realize, hey, we're in a heap of trouble here, then they cry unto God. And a lot of application that we could maybe draw from that as well, be a lot better if you turn to God long before you get to the very bottom. But that's usually where it takes us, and we usually have to get to that point at the bottom before we turn to God and cry out to God and surrender ourselves unto Him. But we find that in verse number 19, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. All right? He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Now, you need to underline several things there. His word in verse number 20 is key, because you've got to do it God's way. It's the key is following His word, not our word. It's not our idea. It's not our thoughts. It's not what we think. It's not what we believe. None of that matters this morning. The thing that you have to understand, it has to be done God's way. I mean, how often do we find throughout the entire Bible of people that, you know, God gives instruction, but boy, they choose to do it a little bit different. And anytime you choose to do it different other than what God gives you, it does not work. Never has, and it never will. I mean, it's sad. It is so sad, the issues that are in the spotlight of our day. And marriage has got to be towards the very focal point and spotlight of just trying to cram that lifestyle down our throat. There was something in the news this morning, and I want to say it's Macy's, maybe, I can't remember, has a big advertisement, maybe it's not Macy's, but it's about jewelry and a wedding ring and so forth, and their poster is two guys, and one guy giving another guy an engagement ring. And it was in the news this morning, kind of a big deal over that and so forth. And I hate to say it was Macy's. I can't remember who it is that put that out and so forth. And their thought is, and I think their slogan, love comes in all forms. Well, I've got news for you, dear friend. If that's the form that you're using, it's wrong. It's not right. It's wrong. It's sin. It's an abomination before God. Now, but that's where our world's gone to. And I mean, they're trying to shove it down your throat. I mean, everywhere you turn nowadays, they're trying to cream us with it and shove it down our throat and basically saying to the God's people, you may not like it, but you just better open your mouth up wide because we're going to shove it down your throat. But it's going to destroy us as a nation. And it's not just our nation. The entire world has kind of turned towards that. And I promise you, it always leads to destruction. Why is it wrong? Because it is contrary to God's Word. You see, the only thing you have that has any foundation whatsoever in your life is the Word of God that you hold in your lap. I mean, it's the foundation of all that we believe this morning. I mean, if we're just going to believe part of it and kind of write out the other parts of it and so forth, and I'm amazed at how many religions are starting to accept that kind of a lifestyle. I think they need to be saved just like any lost person. And I believe that those people in that kind of a lifestyle can be saved out of that lifestyle, and God can save and deliver them out of that kind of a sin and that kind of a lifestyle. But listen, dear friend, we can't pick and choose from the Word of God what we like and what we don't like, what we accept, what we don't accept, what we will abide by, what we won't abide by. I mean, it's all or none. And the key here that you'll find here is that God always comes back. They cry out to God, oh God, we need your help. We're in a mess. We've made a wrong choice. We went down a wrong path. We've done the wrong thing. We need you to help. And God always comes and God always saves them. Look at verse number 19. They cry unto the Lord in their trouble. That's not a bad thing. That's normal. That we do the same thing. We find ourselves often in a heap of mess in life. We call out to God. We find in verse number 20, and deliver them. Oh my God, He delivered them from their destructions. All right. But also in verse number 20, don't forget that first little spot right there. After He saved them, what's He do? He sent His Word. So after He delivers them, He says, now, let me help you so you don't get back in the same shape you were in. Here's my words. You find that He always gives instruction. God always gives His Word. God doesn't just go and snap them out of trouble and just let them go free. God says, now, I saved you out of your trouble, but here's my Word. Here's how you don't do that. Here's how you stay out of trouble. Here's how you get your life on track. Here's how you get down the right path. So we find in verse number 20, it's in His Word. What happens? It healed them and delivered them from their destructions. What did that? His Word does that. Dear friend, it comes down to this. It is simple as this. Obedience. Simple obedience. And I say simple, it's simple, but I am going to be honest, but it's not easy to live. And boy, anybody could speak about that as a people of God. Boy, they would be on fire for God one day and in a valley the next day. They're on the mountaintop one day and the next day they're in a valley crying out for help. They're like a roller coaster. I mean, this entire chapter is like a roller coaster. We're on the mountaintop, then we're back down in the valley. So we find in verse number 20, He does deliver them in verse 19. Verse 20, He sent His Word. Because of that, it heals them, and it not only healed them, but it also delivered them from their destructions. Verse 21, same verse here once again. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them that sacrifice sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. Talking about how that we as a people of God, we ought to be a people of thanksgiving. We ought to give thanks unto God. It ought to be a habit. It ought to be something that just happens every day of our life. We ought to declare His works with rejoicing. That means when you go out to work, when you go out into the week, when you go out in your routine of life, you ought to do that declaring the works of God with rejoicing. In verse number 23, they that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters. So an illustration is going to be used. You're going to have the illustration here of a big ship with men that work on that ship that do this on a daily basis. They work on the sea. They go out to fish and so forth, commercial fishermen. He's going to use an illustration here about a ship and those on a ship. Look at verse number 23. They that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind which lifteth up the waves thereof. Now we all know that the waves of a sea and the wind that blows, it all comes from God. The illustration is this. There's a ship out in the sea, and guess who's in control of the environment around you? God is in control. He's in control of the sea, he's in control of the waves, he's in control of the lightning, he's in control of the rain, he's in control of the wind, and if God wants a storm to come, then the storm's going to come. Verse number 26, the storm comes. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Talking about the sea, of the raging waves, and what a ship does, it goes up, and then it comes down. Then it goes up, then it comes down. Then it goes up, then it comes down. And that is the routine in a storm on a ship. He goes down and says in verse number 26, continues and says, their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro. And stagger like a drunken man. Talking about those trying to stand up on a ship, it's hard to do. You're up and down, up and down. You're staggering around trying to gain your footing and so forth. Verse number 27, and are at their wit's end. Talking about an illustration here of a ship in the middle of a storm. The storm comes because it is engaged by God. The ship goes up, it goes down, it goes up, it goes down. Those that stand on the ship look like a drunken man trying to gain their footing. They're at wit's end. They think it's all over with. They think that they're going to die. There's no hope. There's no way out of it. And we find once again in verse 28, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. It's amazing how often through this chapter the psalmist here gives illustration of the people of God and the condition that they find themselves in, and that how God is always the rescuer. He's the one that steps in. He's the one that helps them. Verse 29, after he brings them out of their distresses, verse 29, he maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because of the quiet. And so he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Talking about God steps in, God calms the storm. When God calms the storm, everybody's happy because of that. And praising unto God, verse 31. Here's that verse once again. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Over and over and over in this chapter, we find the people of God in a big mess in life needing God's help. Not one time does God not come through for them. Every single time that they cry out to God in this chapter, God is always going to come through and take care of them and deliver them out of their problems. And after God delivers them, it's amazing here, if you go back and you'll study, every time God delivers them, God always performs an action after that as well. God continues not only to deliver them, God continues to bless them. God always provides them a better life. God always instructs them of how to rise above this. Don't go back to the same old way. Here's my word. God challenges them. God commands them. God gives them the instructions of how to be successful in life and how not to end up in this kind of condition in life. And if they'll just follow that pattern, it always turns out in the right manner. Verse 32. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. Talking about the people of God, when they come into the congregation of the people, what should happen? There ought to be praise given there to God in that assembly. And as we assemble today, I think that's one of our challenges today. That's one of the purposes of being here. I think that's one of the things we ought to do in our time that we have in our congregation. We ought to praise God. I mean, just in a few moments, we're going to have a few songs that we'll sing. What is that? We're trying to praise God. We're trying to rejoice in God. We're trying to express ourselves unto God in our gratitude and our thankfulness and our praise and our honor that we do our very best to give unto God. And that ought to be something that happens every single time that we meet together in our congregation. What does God do? God gives them some more instruction. He tells them, here's another way to help you. Here's a way to keep you out of trouble. Here's something that will help you to keep down the right path. This will keep you off the wrong path. Very, very simple here. It mentions when they gather together, it'll be a time of rejoicing. It'll be a time of praising unto Him. You know, you come to church on Sunday, it ought to be a time where we try to lift up the God and glory and honor and praise that is due only unto Him. Our focus ought to be on God, and we ought to walk away rejoicing in God. Man, I don't want to go to church and leave being depressed. I want to go to church and get excited. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, if Brother Richardson came up this morning and got in the pulpit and maybe for 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks in a row, he just tells us, I'm afraid to tell you, it's all over with. It's all doom and gloom. There's no hope. There's no way out. God's not going to come through. God doesn't love us. I mean, you know, a few Sundays after that, I'm going to have to go somewhere else and get some encouragement. And there are times when the man of God instructs us in a negative way and reminds us of the darkness of the day. I'm not saying there's any, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, but I'm just saying, you know, every now and then, though, it's good that we uplift one another, that we do praise God, that we acknowledge, hey, it may be dark on the outside, but hey, let's be reminded, God's still on the throne. I mean, God's still all control. I mean, God's in control of the universe. Man, it's good to hear sometimes and be reminded that it may be dark and it may be dreary and it may seem like there is no hope, but there is a hope in Jesus Christ. And He's still on the throne. He's still in control. And there's coming a day when the trumpet's going to sound and things are going to change for the good. And we find here, verse 32, let them exalt Him. And you ought to underline that. That's the pattern. You see, sometimes we want it reversed. We want Him exalting them. See, there's a lot of churches this morning that they're going to do their very best to exalt them and not Him. It's not about a production this morning. It's not about a praise and worship where all the spotlight's on an individual and they get all the honor, glory, and praise, dear friend. Hey, they've got it all backwards. It is amazing. Isn't it amazing how the devil has changed so many churches today where they've taken the spotlight off Jesus Christ and put it on a production? Well, the production draws bigger crowds. Listen, dear friend. If it's big crowds that keep us going, we're in a sad, sad shape. You ever thought about this? Jesus Christ never had a big crowd. Oh, He drew big crowds as far as maybe a speaking engagement or maybe a sermon or a lesson here and there. But it's amazing, after all that was over and said and done with, not many followed. We don't need big crowds. We just need to focus our attention on a big God. So look once again, you ought to make a little bit of a note there in verse 32. Let them exalt Him. It's not about coming here so we can get exalted. It's about we can exalt Him. In verse number 32, also in the congregation of the people, and praise Him in the assembly of the elders. I'm going to apply that to our church services here and acknowledging here that when we come together and when we go through a service here this morning and then even again tonight, Lord willing, we need to exalt Him. Verse 33, He turneth rivers into the wilderness and the water springs into dry ground. Now you're going to find here an illustration is going to be given how that God can take a river and God can dry it up if He chooses to. God can take a desert and make springs out of it if He wants to. So look here, it's interesting here talking about how that He can take rivers in verse number 33 and He can take it and change it into a wilderness. He can take water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness. I mean, He can take a land that produces great crops and God can take it and turn it into where that land won't grow anything. He goes on and says in verse number 34, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. So what's he talking about? He said if God chooses, because of the wickedness of the people that live in a land, no matter how great the river may be, no matter how great the land may be, I mean, when wickedness overruns a country, God can take it and make it a barren land. God can send drought if He wants to.
God can take rivers and dry them up. God can also can take land that was barren and make it fruitful. Or He can take fruitful land and make it barren. God can do whatever He wants to. Why? Because of the wickedness of the people. You see, I am one person in this nation, but our nation as a whole will not be judged just on me. It will be judged on us as a whole. I'll move on here a little bit. Look at verse number 36. My time's about up. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, and they may prepare a city for habitation. And sow the fields and plant vineyards which may yield fruits of increase. He blesses them also, so that they are multiplied greatly and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again, it says in verse number 39, they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes and causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. So now, when it all comes down to it, here's the deal. God's the one that's in control. A farmer can plant seed, but a farmer can't make anything grow. A farmer can put a seed in the ground, but a farmer cannot make the sun shine. He cannot make the rain fall. He even mentions here, talking about princes and so forth. It doesn't matter who the king is. It doesn't matter who the prince is. It doesn't matter how mighty that person may be. They are no match for God. You see, the blessings this morning on America are not dependent on one man or one woman in a White House. The blessings of God on our country are not all triggered just based on one delegate in the Congress. God judges a nation by all the people. And I believe that there are times when innocent people do suffer. I think there are times in nations and countries and so forth, and states in our world that as a whole, when the wicked rule, you're going to be judged based on that. Sometimes innocent people suffer. Sometimes good people suffer. Sometimes Christians suffer. But God's the one in control. God is the one that He could. I mean, I don't think we understand, realize sometimes how quickly God could just shut our country completely down. I mean, just the weather. I mean, God, we all know, I mean, we just studied a moment ago. God is the one that makes the waves. He's the one that makes the wind. He makes the rain. He makes the lightning. He makes it all. And if God chooses just to alter that, I mean, if God just alters the weather, can almost shut our nation down. Let me hurry up. We got just maybe a minute here. Verse number 41, yet sitteth he the poor on high from affliction, it maketh his families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Verse 43, whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. You'll find that word will observe is obedience, and that is the key for us this morning, is obedience to God's word. Obedience brings blessings. Disobedience always brings destruction. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this morning. We thank you for this day. And Lord, we do pray and ask for, Lord, your blessing upon our time today. And Lord, we look forward to what you have in store for us today. We pray that you would speak to our hearts. I pray that you would give each and every individual this morning exactly what they need. And Lord, may we leave here today with that blessing that you've granted unto us and given unto us. May we leave here today, Lord, may we take it, put it to practice, put it to work in our life so that it can make a difference in this world that we live in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.